Thank you. All right, so back in Acts, actually Acts 18, we'll see that Paul, or we saw, if you were with us when we did went through Acts, but you saw that Paul planted a church. He didn't bury it under the ground, but planted means that he established it, right? Just a word we use. Right? Okay. I just didn't want you guys to get confused. Now, it was about 50 AD is when that happened. Now, in Paul's mission trips, he made it to the southern edge of, does anybody know the country? Macedonia would be pretty famous country for ancient history. Not Rome, but the other one, Greece. Greece. So, Greece. He started up in Athens, and they moved south to Corinthian. So, Corinthian. Corinthian was a very busy commercial hub. Now, what does that mean? Right, so it's in the major business route. There's a lot of merchants that would definitely be using that pathway. So there's a lot of trade. So it's a very rich city. You know, it also means that there's a lot of different cultures that would be representative in that city at any given time. You know, but being part of Greece, you know, the city was deeply rooted in idol worshiping. And then along with idol worshiping would be the practices of the idol worshiping. There'd be prostitution, there'd be drinking, gambling, witchcraft, all this mixed in with people trying to make a living, raising their kids, having their family. You know, Corinth was known for their immoral acts. Actually, the whole world, they're well known for that. As far as, you know, there'd be plays going on in that day, if you were a Corinthian, that usually be played, oh, that guy's the drunkard or the guy's immoral. So it was, they were well known. Actually, in Corinth, there was the Olympic Games, but there was the Corn Games. They were famous for their games, too. Corn basically had the best the world can offer, but it also had the very, very worst the world offered. Now, the Greeks pride themselves to be wise because they loved to study. And every new idea that came about, they would want to study it. They want to go, oh, what's going on with that? They want to hear about it. They want to learn about it. Fortunes were won and lost in this city. Now, in the city was made up of very poor people and also very rich people. You know, and that'd make for a wide difference in social standings, right? Some would be royal or some are beggars. Now, what do you think of that city that I just described to you? Anyone?
It's like every other city in the world.
Like every other city in the world, right? In modern days, yes, it's very much like the cities we visit, right? Anything else? Cool place to live, scary place to live.
Depends
what neighborhood you're in.
Depends on the neighborhood, what your liking is to different types of cities. I don't know, man.
Lost.
I would prefer not to live there.
Do you think there could be any issues come up in that city?
Yes.
Like, they're doing everything, right? And some things not good, right? Not good things. Do you think any of those issues might infect the church members or influence the church members? Possibly. Could be if they're surrounded by it, right? If they're surrounded by what the world gives us. Now, we just finished a letter Paul wrote to the church of Rome, right? And we're going to be starting a new letter he wrote to the church of Corinth. What do you think, or why do you think Paul wrote these letters? Aiden, do you know why? Why do you think Paul writes these letters? Not sure? Anna?
Raise your hand.
Yeah. But you have the answer.
I know.
You have the answer. Silas?
The
Trump
dude.
Yeah. What's your answer?
My answer is that he is telling them what they can improve on.
What they can.
It can also help us.
Right. Right, so he's trying to help, right? He's trying to advise them on what maybe they're doing wrong or maybe what they're doing right and to encourage them. So he's trying to advise them, right? So that's why he writes letters, exactly. Now, I know today's modern age, technology and everything, do kids even write letters anymore?
I do.
You do? But now, never.
Honestly, the biggest disappointment in this day and age is the fact that we completely ignore the fact that letters exist. Because I think letters are a lot better and prettier than texting.
Yeah. If you can write it,
it's more
personal. Right. I think there's some things where it's weird. It's kind of like an analog clock. You're so used to a digital clock, sometimes it's hard to remember. Oh, how do I tell time, right? So you lose that, huh? Yeah. So it's kind of like I heard they stopped teaching cursive in school.
Who cares?
How will you ever learn to sign your name if you don't know how to do cursive?
I don't know.
You just put a squiggly on everything.
Right, well, that's true. It's hard when you're buying something, it's hard to write your name. Michelle's really nice.
Hey, if you don't know how to write or read cursive, you don't want to know how to read the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. But calligraphy is kind of cool. But it's kind of, that's cursive-ish. Cursive-ish.
Not really.
It's cursive.
It's cursive.
Not
it's cursive with ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So those are just a lot of questions out there I have. But we will go on. And so let's say you're going to write a letter, right, for those who've written a letter, those who haven't written a letter. So let's say you're going to start a text or maybe a Zoom call, right? You're going to put it on a Zoom call, and you're going to put it out to a group of people that you may know a few people, but there's for sure people you never met. Or let's say you're meeting a stranger for the first time and you want to, I don't know, say you want to tell them about Jesus. Right? How do you get started?
Hi.
No clue.
Hi. No clue. In a letter, you don't know how to get started. You say hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Or depends. Are we being formal or?
I would say formal, right? You don't know these people.
So
when you say hi, what are you doing when you say hi? Hi, then what's your next thing out of your mouth? Hopefully they say hi back. And then after they say hi back, what is the first thing? What do you do?
What's your name or how are you doing?
Or
say your name first because it's kind of creepy if you start conversations. What's your name?
Or maybe you introduce yourself, right? Introductions. Right? So in a letter, it's nice if you're sending it to somebody you don't know, it's kind of nice to know who that letter came from. Right? Make sense?
But don't you put that at the end?
In a letter, you put
it
at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts out, dear stranger.
In this letter, he greets himself first.
Yeah. So I would think in some cases, this letter, he greets himself first. If you're only introduced, if you're going to send a letter to somebody you don't know, if you send a letter to somebody you already know, there's a difference there.
I guess so.
You know, are you going to read somebody from a stranger? It's like, I don't know. This guy could be a creep. I don't know. So you introduce yourself. If you're meeting somebody for the first time, you typically introduce yourself, right? That's proper. So 1 Corinthians 1:1. Lana, can you read that?
We have a new sound guy.
We have a new sound guy. Be easy on the little kid. He's young. Sosthenes. I looked it up. All right. Sosthenes. Why would that be worse? Never mind. Paul introduces himself, right? He lets him know who he is and his credibility. And then Paul name drops. He doesn't do it like, well, look who I know. You know, he does it just to back up that you could trust me. Sosthenes was the ruler of the synagogue in Corinth.
I am Gary, and I know Jeff Bezos. He's my friend. Give me money.
What?
What? Yeah, what? So everybody would have known Sosthenes because his cool name, and they would have trusted him. Like, oh, you know, Sosthenes, perfect. I trust you now. And then in Corinthians verses 2 through 3.
Next one.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 through 3. Silas, would you like to read that? So Paul does something next, right? He lets us know who the letter is to, right? It's kind of like, dear friend, right? Dear friend. And he's doing that nicely, right? So it'd be a dear friend. And then verses 4 through 9. Yeah, this will be a few slides, but it's all connected. Cassia.
Thank you, God, always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by all knowledge, even as the testimony.
Next slide.
Of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you may come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord.
Okay, sounds.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry. Oh, through 9, that's right. I'm sorry.
God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, sounds nice, right? All right. So why was Paul writing this letter?
For no reason at all.
We decided he wrote these letters, or why would you write a letter to somebody? Anyone?
To let them know about something,
right? To check in? Maybe, but in this case, Paul's writing this letter to
the church.
Well, he's writing it to the church, but he's writing it in so to correct them, right? He sounds pleasant, though, right? Now, Paul's a very straight shooter. You see that throughout the Bible. Paul is very straight. But there's this old term. You can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Anybody ever hear that before?
Yes.
Yeah? What does it mean?
If you're going to ask the people, they're more keen to listen to you.
Oh, I thought it meant you made better fly trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I heard that too.
No, it's being nice to people, right? It's we should be nice to people. What can we learn from this verse? Or those verses? What can we learn from that? Can we learn anything from that? And it's just something to read?
Yes.
Anything, TJ?
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what the question was.
What can we learn to those verses Cassia read? Who was listening? Who was paying attention?
I was kind of paying attention, so I
can
comprehend what I'm reading.
They have to read it slow.
So we established what she read was mean. He was being mean. Was he being mean, Aiden?
Yes,
he was being mean. He was like, you guys are messing up really badly.
Yes.
No, he was being really nice, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So what can we learn from that?
We should be nice to people.
We should be nice to people, right? Even if we're correcting them, we should be mean to them, right?
Yes.
No. No, exactly. Somebody paying attention. We should be nice to them even if we're correcting them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and verse 32, we're going to jump around just because we'll be here a while if we don't do that. Aiden, can you read that? So you have to speak truth in love, but in love. So that's not... You know, that's the way we're speaking the truth, right? And then 32. Chapter 4, verse 32. No, Aiden's still reading. Come on, Lana. All right, so it says clearly, be mean to one another.
Yes.
And hard-heartedly, because God never forgave us.
Yes.
So we should be mean to people.
Yes.
Right. Oh, yes. No, it doesn't say that?
Yes.
Nope. Oh, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
I don't teach you guys well. So be kind and humble. Right? Even if we're correcting or informing somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. They haven't got a chance to read. TJ hasn't got a chance to read. TJ.
I'm busy.
You're not busy. I see you there. Now I plead. The second word is I.
Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Okay, I should have warned you first. I'm going to ask a question, what it's about, so you guys need to pay attention, right? So Paul touches on the first issue he's going to talk about. What's that issue?
Don't be mean.
Don't be mean. Don't fight amongst yourselves. There's another word for fighting amongst yourselves.
Do not be devised.
Divisions. Right? Divided. Don't be divided. Don't have factions. A house divided against itself will not stand. It cannot stand. We'll never be strong if we're diverting all of our strength fighting amongst ourselves. We need to work together. Paul is pleading for an outward expression that comes from an inward spirit. Not only did Paul encourage the Corinthians to focus on the same thing, is that they're focusing on the same thing, that they have an external unity. He also urged them to join together in unity of heart and mind. Not fake, not just going along and faking it, but a real harmony between each other. That's what he's asking for. That's what he's telling them they need to do. In verse 11, First Corinthians verse 11. Stephen, can you read that?
For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there come tensions among you.
Yep.
Contentions
means that there's been fighting, backbiting. Contentions are like you, one person being mean to the other person.
Don't be mean.
Right. That's the whole premise. But rumors and secrets are really good for relationships, right? No, they're not. I do a lot of negative reverse psychology, right? No, they're bad, right? Rumors are bad. Paul didn't want to play around with rumors or being secretive, so he names his source, right? He names his source. Who told him what was going on? And it was Chloe's household. Now, we're not sure too much about Chloe and the household. We don't even know. It could even be a guy's name at that time. We're not sure. It could have been a girl's name. We're not sure. But we do know that Chloe was respected. And that's why Paul, or at least the household was respected. And that's why Paul named them. So they would have been respected. Nobody would have been like, you can't trust them. Very trustworthy. That's why Paul would name them. And then verse 12. Lana, can you read that? Okay.
Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ.
All right. So, here we see that there's at least four, if we could count, four different divisions in the church of Corinth. So the first one would be, I am of Paul. So obviously Paul, I said, established the church. So there was definitely a loyalty there, right? Because he established the church. Now, and at that time, Paul is definitely reaching out to the Gentiles. So he might have a little bit of stronger standing with the Gentiles of the city. Now, two is, I am of Apollos. Now, they're not talking about the Greek god. They're talking about because that would be a really big issue somewhere else down the line. But they're talking about a companion, an actual companion of Paul. He's one what Paul actually sent to Corinth to lead the church or help lead the church. He was very known. He was from Alexandria. So the city had a huge library, known for the library. He was known for his very intelligent and very well-educated speaking ability. So like I said earlier, Greeks respected wisdom. So he probably had, just like Paul, kind of had favor in the Gentile background. Or maybe he was, you know, because he was a really good speaker, if you ever listen to a really good speaker, you know, it's like, gets you, can get you pumped up or get you excited about something. And then third is I am Cius. Cius? Huh? Now, who's this guy? Anybody know? So a lot of times in the Bible, there's two names for the same person, right? This is actually Peter. We all have heard of Peter, right? Right? He's one of the OGs, right? Original guys. He's one of the OGs. He's one of the original 12, right? He actually walked with Jesus. And he kind of, his ministry was more Jewish-based, so his background would probably have been more favored from a Jewish background, right? And then fourth is I am of Christ. Now, which sounds like this one, okay, these guys are right. You know, these guys must know what's going on. However, Paul never says, oh, well, no, you need to be more like them. So it gives you maybe, and we're not positive, but maybe these guys were maybe a little snobby. You know, ever run into a snob? Right? Like, oh, no, I'm from Jesus. I can't respect these people. But so we're not sure, but it doesn't sound like they're really on the right trail also. Like everybody needs correction. You know, or they believed in Christ, but their own version of Christ, but not the true version of Christ. So, but something we need to know here is that Paul's not saying everybody needs to think and act alike. Because the beauty of it is that people are different. Right? People are different. And different people can reach different people. You know, we all identify with something what your neighbor doesn't identify with. And that's fine. And now Christian speakers and leaders are just merely vessels, is the point. They're just vessels. And they can only do what God allows them to do. However, that one thing, the point is, there is one thing that drives all of them, and that's Jesus. And that one thing, that common thing, should be the main thing. It shouldn't be about, oh, I like Apollos better than Paul, you know. It shouldn't be about that. That one thing should stop us from fighting among ourselves. Because we're focused on the one thing, not these other little tangents. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, there'll be a couple different slides, 13 through 16. God bless you. Cassie, sure. If nobody's doing volunteer, I'll pick somebody.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except
Well, you just skipped to 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, you have a Bible in your hand. Verses 13 through 16. All right. So we ran over this quickly, but Paul gives three questions. I don't know if anybody noticed that. He gives three questions where overwhelming no, right? Like that, no, for sure no's, right? What were the questions? Lana? Is Christ divided? That's your point to say, what? What's the answer to, is Christ divided?
No.
All right.
Well, kind of.
No, he doesn't work against himself, though.
Work against himself.
Right, and that's what we're talking about, being divided. I get what you're saying, but is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for them? Thirdly, third question.
Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
No.
No, right? So this shows how the divisions of the Corinthians were not right. Right? By going over those three, they're definitely no. Baptism does not align a believer with any human leader. Right? Our fashions of Christianity, it doesn't align with them. It's like, oh, you have to do this now. You always have to follow them. But it does align them with the Lord. Right? One might think this, as far as the Corinthians, they're just very immature. You know, they're just silly. But living in the world today, we already established Corinth was, Silas said it was like
almost every other city.
Like almost every other city, right? Drinking, drug use, sleeping around, greed, worshiping false idols.
Oh my gosh, it's Las Vegas.
It could be. It could be just like that. Now, do we face any sins, or do the Corinthians face any sins that we don't face today? That aren't around us, that we don't see? No. A dramatic speaker and a powerful, vibrant leader, do we ever face that same pitfall? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I know we read it, but Bub.
For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words,
bless.
All right. There are better preachers of the gospel than me. I know that. But there's no better gospel to preach. Paul knew it didn't matter. His words never saved anyone. It doesn't matter how elegantly he spoke. His words could not save anyone. It was the cross of Christ. It's Jesus. That's who saves. It's about the message, not the messenger. We don't put human leaders up on pedestals. John 14, 6. Anna? John 14, verse 6. So we don't go, those peoples of Corinth, they didn't, you know, they're not going to get saved through Paul. Or they're not going to enter heaven through Paul. They're not going to be entered through Peter or through Apollos. It's only through Jesus. Silas, can you close us in prayer? Amen. Thank you.